Ammonia is one of the most important chemicals produced in the world, ranking second only to sulfuric acid in the total volume produced each year. It is used mostly to make fertilizer, which is essential to feeding the world's population. Yet its production accounts for up to 2% of the world's energy consumption and about 1.5% of greenhouse gas emissions, so the search has been underway for ways to produce ammonia more sustainably. The traditional way of making ammonia, in use for more than a century and accounting for the vast majority of production, is the Haber-Bosch process, which relies on fossil fuels to provide the needed heat. Hydrogen used in the process is also largely produced from fossil fuels. There is another way, using electrochemistry instead of heat and pressure, but so far this method has not been anywhere near economically competitive at the scales needed. Now, researchers at MIT have developed a way to predict which materials could be most promising as catalysts in electrochemical ammonia production. Catalysts help drive chemical reactions, and their properties determine how efficiently those reactions proceed. Rather than using trial and error to test each possible combination out of the millions of possible alloys, which can take years, the new approach could greatly speed up the search for materials that could make this low-emissions method competitive with the Haber-Bosch process. Our approach identifies the key physical properties that drive catalytic activity in ammonia production, says Bill Gieldes, the Breen M. Kerr Professor in the Departments of Nuclear Science and Engineering and Materials Science and Engineering, DMSC. The results can guide the search for new and more effective catalyst compounds. The open access findings were published August 11 in the Royal Society of Chemistry journal EES Catalysis in a paper by Gieldes and doctoral students Konstantin Athanaitis of DMSC and Philip Grajkowski of the Department of Chemistry. The challenge of greener ammonia. As the world's population grows, Athanaitis says, we're just going to need more and more food, and the only reason why we're able to sustain so many people is because of fertilizer. But more than 90% of the ammonia needed for fertilizer is still made by that energy-intensive Haber-Bosch process, which has been hyper-optimized since it first came out more than a century ago, he says. If we're trying to keep in line with society's sustainability and energy targets and climate change targets, we really need to come up with another alternative, he explains. The world currently uses about 200 million metric tons of ammonia each year. So, ideally, we want to be able to find a way to produce the same amount of ammonia, or even more, but in a more energy-efficient way and also with lower CO2 emissions, he says. Using electricity to produce ammonia is not a new idea. It's really just the electrochemical reaction between proton-electron pairs and nitrogen gas, and these technologies exist, he says. The approach uses the same basic principles as electrolyzers, which use electricity to drive chemical reactions in devices. But while the process works, it's not efficient enough for industrial-scale production. Production rates and yields are still too low, Athanaitis says. Even though a technology might be better for the world or for the climate, companies and capitalism won't really allow it unless it's cost competitive. How to make it more competitive? The key ingredient in the electrochemical process is a metallic catalyst whose properties govern the reaction that takes place on its surface. If we can somehow find a catalyst that reduces the energy needed and is more selective for ammonia production, Athanaitis says, then we could essentially hit the jackpot. A more selective catalyst would produce more ammonia while reducing unwanted side reactions. Finding better catalysts. But finding that ideal catalyst is not simply a matter of identifying one perfect material. Different materials can improve different parts of the reaction, and researchers are seeking combinations that can make ammonia production efficient, affordable, and practical at large scale. Metal nitride compounds make an ideal material system for this reaction and for identifying the electronic, chemical, and structural properties that determine reactivity in nitrogen reduction and ammonia electrosynthesis, Gieldes says. Transition metals could form promising nitride alloys for this purpose. And historically, materials research has been pretty much trial and error, Athanaitis says. The usual process is to take some existing material and tweak it in some way, he says. It's all somewhat guided by scientific and chemical intuition. Now, increasingly, computational tools are being used to model the physical interactions and predict outcomes. A method called density functional theory uses quantum mechanics to simulate the properties and behavior of materials, allowing researchers to predict how different atomic arrangements may perform before making them in the lab. Rather than searching randomly through every possible alloy combination, Yildiz says, "We first assessed what microscopic properties of the material make them tick for nitrogen reduction. For ammonia-producing catalysts, we're looking at transition metal nitrides," Athanitis says, "because they have been found to be effective in these electrochemical nitrogen reactions. They are especially effective because the nitrogen inherent to the catalyst itself becomes part of the reaction. This produces a series of chemical steps in which one step provides part of the energy needed to drive the next, reducing the amount of input energy needed. This helps solve one of the major bottlenecks in the nitrogen reduction reaction, the high energy required to break the strong bonds in nitrogen molecules," he says. "But the process is far from perfect," Athanitis says. "It is still limited by certain steps throughout the reaction pathway, including nitrogen dissociation and hydrogen transfer. The study attempted to identify those bottlenecks and, with the help of machine learning, determine which alloys of these metals might overcome them. With that understanding, it can give us insights and open up potential strategies for how we can tune these materials to create next-generation better nitride catalysts," Athanitis says, pushing past theory. "The approach is exciting work that could help develop a foundation for designing new catalysts for ammonia production," says Dane Morgan, a professor of engineering at the University of Wisconsin who was not involved in this study. "This work helps clarify how fundamental electronic properties of a material relate to its role as a catalyst in making ammonia," Morgan says. "Such understanding can help guide researchers in designing new catalysts, both through better qualitative understanding and by accelerating computational screening. So far, the study is purely theoretical. The researchers have used computer models to identify promising alloys, but those materials still need to be made and tested." Morgan notes that translating these calculations into practical catalysts will require many additional steps, so meaningful real-world impact is likely still some distance away. "The next step will be to build a working reaction cell, a laboratory device that uses the catalyst to produce ammonia and test its performance under real operating conditions. For this to really make an impact in society, we need to bring it to the experimental lab," Athanitis says. "There have always been pushes at the frontiers of what's possible," he adds. "We like to think we've pushed the boundary of candidate materials here beyond what was thought of before, and hopefully we're almost there. But even if we're not almost there, we're still pushing in the right direction,"